Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at the famous verse, verses 16 and 17. You should have the handout, and it says inspiration of the Bible. And this semester, of course, in Grow Groups, we've been looking at some great truths. We've been seeing truths that help us to grow and truths that we're going to pass on to other people. It deals with, we're going to deal with salvation, end times, so much more. Our goal in these studies, of course, is that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and that we'd be ready to give an answer to everyone that hopes within us. Now, what I've tried to do is in this study, we're calling it God's truths. And that's where we're going to take some foundational truths so that you can be ready to give an answer, so that you can be ready that when time comes that you can talk about it, you can help others. These truths will help us. Here's some questions to think about. We want to look at, what do we believe? If somebody comes to you and said, what do you believe? What do you believe about Christ? What do you believe about salvation? What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about these things? Why do you believe it? Can you go to the scripture and show it? How can we help others to know and to grow? And so in this lesson this morning, we're going to be looking at what we're calling inspiration and the Bible. And we're going to put them together. We're going to see how they fit, because inspiration and the Bible actually go together, because that's how we have the Bible. The Bible is the inspired word of God. So there's so much there. We'll get to it as we go through it through our lesson. Now, last time, let me just remind you. Last time we saw what we call revelation. Revelation is God making himself known. And we talked about how the infinite God has made himself known to finite man. If God had not made himself known, there'd be no way for us to know him. And yet he does that. And we talked about last week that he has revealed himself to us through the creation, through the Bible, through his son Jesus Christ. And our whole lesson last week was on revelation. Well, in this lesson, we're gonna see something that sort of goes together. And we're going to talk about inspiration in the Bible. Remember, revelation is God making himself known. Inspiration is God making himself known in a written form. So you should have that. What is revelation? Revelation is God making himself known. Inspiration is God making himself known in a written form. What do we call that? What do we call God making himself known in a written form? The scripture, the Bible. So this is what we're talking about this morning. Last time, the big idea of revelation, God making himself known. Now this is inspiration, and we want to see that as we go through the study. Let's do this. Let's talk about inspiration. And inspiration is God making himself known in a written form. Now, have you thought about how amazing that is? You think about this. Did Adam and Eve have a written revelation? Yes or no? No. How about Noah? No. How about Abraham? How about Isaac? Jacob? Joseph? Moses? Moses is the first one that Moses started writing down the scripture. So from Adam and Eve all the way to Moses, there wasn't a written revelation. Now we have a written revelation. And Peter says, when he's writing his book, he says, you know, we have something better than an experience. We have the Word of God. So when we're talking about the Bible, this is really incredible. I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Look what it says. It says, all Scripture is what? What does it say? All Scripture is inspired. You can put on your handout, all Scripture is God-breathed. Because the word inspired actually means God-breathed. It's like God took and breathed his message through people. God used people to bring us his word. The Bible is perfect and accurate. And by the way, if people complain to you or they say, oh, the Bible's got errors in it, look, you can tell them, the first thing you ought to say to them when somebody tells you they got errors in the Bible, what should you say to them? How about, show me one? Because people have heard that there's errors in the Bible, but they don't really know any errors in the Bible. They just have heard that. And there's really not any. And the original autographs, the original scripture, no, it's perfect and everything. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. From Adam and Eve all the way to Moses, now suddenly there's this written revelation. There's two keys. I want you to see this. There's two keys. Don't want you to turn, but there's two keys to how the Bible fits together and the inspiration of the Bible. First of all, the writers were inspired. Okay? Listen to this. I've got the verses for you. Just write down that the writers were inspired. Now look at the scripture on the screen. It says, first of all, know that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, meaning nobody decided that they were going to write down the scripture. Paul didn't say, I think I'll write the Philippians. He didn't. Moses didn't say, I think I'll write down five books of the Bible. It is God. Look what it says. It says this, for no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will. Nobody ever said, I'm going to do it. But it was men moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. See, the Bible, the writers were inspired. It's as if God took Paul and he gave his message through Paul. And so when Paul wrote a letter, the Corinthian letter, the Galatians, the letter to the churches of Galatia, that was God using these people. God breathed through them. He used their own vocabulary. He used their personality. If you've studied the scripture, you realize that how Paul wrote and how Luke wrote and how John wrote are all different. They're all different. Paul was an educated man, and he knew Greek and Hebrew, and he'd do everything. And he could just write, and it's just systematic. But you got John, who is uneducated. And when John writes, it's deep stuff, but it's very simple language. And when you look at Luke was what? What was he? He was a doctor, and he uses terms nobody else uses. He uses terms nobody else uses. Somebody, in one of the Gospels, they say they were mending their nets. And one of the writers used the word to mend. When Luke writes it and says they were mending their nets, he uses a word to set a bone, like a doctor would set a bone, because he uses his vocabulary. But it is God's revelation. It is God's message through people. So the writers were inspired. Now, here's the second thing, and this is important as well. The writings themselves were inspired. You're at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look what he says. All scripture is inspired. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped. The books themselves, not only were the authors inspired, but the writers themselves. Look at this on the scripture on the board. I've got all scripture is inspired, God-breathed, by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. All scripture, not only the writers were inspired by God, but what they wrote down was inspired by God. Now, I want you to understand, that's an amazing thing. You could even say, God inspired me to write something. Well, that's not the same as those authors. But think how God would take a person and bring his message through them, and then what they actually wrote down, that was also inspired by God. It was God-breathed. The writings themselves, the message is from God. So you can put down the writings themselves were inspired by God, were revelation from God. Now, when we think about the Bible, just think about how amazing this is. How many of you have your own Bible? So you're telling me every one of us in this room have a copy of God's written revelation. You realize what that is? It's not something you just go sit on a coffee table and look at about every 3 months. We're talking about the living God has revealed himself to each of us, and he has a written revelation that we can hold in our hands, that we can read. So the writers were inspired, and the writings themselves were inspired. I want you to see something. If you turn to the top of the next page, and we see that the scripture is profitable. In fact, it says the Bible is profitable, and there are four things there. Notice what it says. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. I always look at it this way. It's profitable because it gives us the truth. It's profitable because it shows us where we're wrong. It's profitable because it shows us how to get right. It's profitable because it shows us how to stay right. Think about the scripture. How many of you read the Bible, and when you read the Bible, you recognize that you've done something wrong because the scripture told you that what you did was wrong, right? You do that. And then the Bible talks about how to live righteously, and godly. And then it shows us how to trains us to grow and to walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. So when you think about the Bible, it is amazing. It is amazing. Profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training. Okay, now, look at the next part, because there's the whole idea of what it's for. The goal is the adequate. Notice what it says, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, most of your Bibles use the word adequate. If you have other New American Standard, what word is used? Does anybody else have anything other than New American Standard? What does it say? That the man of God may be perfect. It uses the word perfect. Sometimes when we see perfect, what do we think? Perfect. You don't make a mistake. That's not what it's talking about. The word perfect means mature. The word adequate means mature. The whole purpose of the Word of God is to mature us. How does it work? How are we matured by the Word of God? How? How? Okay, so the Bible teaches us how to live righteously. So the way we're matured by the Bible is it shows us how to live, and as we apply the truths from the Bible, then we're going to grow, and then we're going to mature. Remember I told you that Prof. Hendricks used to always ask the question, what's the purpose of the study of the Bible? And all the guys would say, to know the Bible, and they'd say, that's wrong. The purpose of the study of the Word of God is application. It is to know it and to apply it. Notice this passage says, it's profitable for, and then it ends in verse 17. It says, so that, in verse 17, so that, that's purpose, so that the man of God may be perfect, may be adequate, may be mature, equipped for every good work. God has revealed his word to us, and he has given it to us. So in summary, think about this. God used people to give us the Bible. And no person just said, I think I'm gonna write the Bible. It was they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the writers were inspired. What they wrote down were inspired. So when you read 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, and you read Leviticus, and you read Jonah, and you read the book of Revelation, those are inspired messages from God given to us by inspired people. It's amazing. So this is something that we dig, this we study, we love it. Now, there's a term that you need to know and understand. There's a term called verbal plenary inspiration. Now, that's how we hold to the Bible. At Stillwater Bible, we say that we believe the Bible is inspired, and we believe in what they call verbal plenary inspiration. The word verbal means every word, and the word plenary means the whole. We believe that the entire Bible and every word in the Bible is inspired by God. Now, there are people who will say, oh yeah, the Bible's God's word, but it's got what? It's got some errors in it. See, they don't hold a verbal plenary inspiration. Or some people will say, well, I think the book of Jonah was a story and it wasn't real. Or I don't think there were really an Adam and an Eve. I just think it's a story. They're not holding to verbal plenary inspiration. Verbal plenary inspiration is we believe that the word of God that we have is alive, powerful, sharpening to his sword. It's from God. It is from God through men. It is from God to men. It is his revelation without any error in every word. Even Jesus said it. He said, not one little jot or tittle. That's how he said it. He meaning not one little stroke or letter from the Bible is ever going to be wrong. It's going to be exactly right. So you hold in your hand the inspired revelation from God. It is amazing. This is what I like to think. It's from God to men, and it's from God through men. God gave it to mankind. God gave it to man through mankind. He used people to give us his word. So think about it. You hold in your hand, when Paul wrote, and you're right now looking at 2 Timothy, when Paul wrote to Timothy, it wasn't just Paul deciding to write to a friend. It was the Spirit of God moving through a man using his own personality and vocabulary and life to give an inspired, perfect message from God so that when we read it, it wasn't just Paul writing Timothy. It's scripture that is for us, profitable to show us, to teach us, to help us grow, and to help us mature. When you think about it, at the bottom of the page, the Bible is, and notice, the Bible's true. John 17:17, thy word is truth. The Bible is alive. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive and powerful and sharpening to it in your sword, piercing far as the division of the soul and spirit, both of the joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God judges you, and not only what you do, why you do it. Thoughts and intentions. It's amazing, the Bible. The Bible's effective. Anybody know Isaiah 55:11? His word will never come back what? Void. Will never come back void. It will accomplish the purpose. That's why, and let me just say this, the time we have left. When we get up on Sunday morning, what are we doing? What are we going to study today? Anybody remember? We're in Galatians. Why aren't we just talking about some philosophical truths? Why aren't we just talking about some current events? Why are we going to the book of Galatians for a group of people to gather? Why? Because it is the inspired word of God given to the body of Christ that we would know it and apply it so we could grow and mature so we can fulfill the great commission that he's given to us. What's our purpose? It's to what? Make disciples, evangelism and training, equipping the believers. That you equip the believers through the Word of God. So it's true, it's alive, it's effective. It never comes back void, and it's profitable, as we've seen already. So that's the whole idea of inspiration. Now, with that in mind, and just we got a few minutes left, I want you to think about the Bible, okay? And as you turn your page and you go to the top of the page where it says the Bible, I want you to think about it. What is the story of the Bible? If you've been in the 2-2, if you've been in the 4-12, if you've been in any Bible studies with me, you know the story of the Bible. What is the story of the Bible? Perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. That's the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible is not the sovereignty of God. The story of the Bible is not the creation story. The story of the Bible is not something else. The story of the Bible is how God brings mankind back to himself. The Bible begins with the creation. It then shows us a fall of mankind who is in rebellion against God. That's in Genesis chapter 3. That's the very beginning of the Bible. The whole rest of the Bible is showing how this perfect God has a plan to redeem, to reconcile, to bring fallen mankind back to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We come into this world fallen. We need a Savior. The story of the Bible is how God saves us. God saves us through his son, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave his son, Jesus Christ. Came, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again. Whoever believes in him will never perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's us being brought back to our Savior, Jesus Christ, through the Son, Jesus Christ, back to the perfect God. That's the story of the Bible. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. I mean, when you start looking at it, since it's the inspired Word of God, you can know it. You should know it and apply it. We should know it and understand it and apply it and pass it on. We've got from the books of Genesis and Exodus. I mean, let's face it. Most of us in this room have read Genesis. Everybody loves Genesis. Oh, Genesis got a lot of stuff in it. Then we get to Exodus and we say, I like the first part. And then it gets to all this, and then you get to Leviticus, and you move on to the New Testament, right? Because that's what happens, because you got Leviticus, but you got Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and Joshua, and Judges, and 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, you got Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Do you know those? Do you know Habakkuk, what it's about? Jonah, what it's about? Almost everybody, if I said to you, Jonah is praying from the belly of the fish in chapter 2, what's he praying about? Huh? Most people say he's praying, oh, Lord, get me out of this fish. No, he's not. He's actually thanking God for using the fish to save his life. See, because most people haven't really read Jonah. And we go Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and 1 and 2 Corinthians. Most, you know, they're longer books and letters, and we say, well, I know parts of those books. We should know the Bible and how it fits together. So just a few minutes. Let's think about the Bible. First of all, the Old Testament looks forward to what? The coming Messiah. From Genesis 3 on, there's this idea that the seed of woman is going to crush the head of the serpent, that this Messiah and Savior is coming to save mankind, and the whole Old Testament is looking forward from Adam and Eve all the way up. The New Testament looks back. When you study in the New Testament, you're looking back at the life of Christ and the letters to the churches, and we're thinking about the one who came and died and paid for our sin. That's what you see. Jesus is the central person in the Bible, okay? Now, look, I get this down. If you memorize those few places right there, you will have a great flow because he is the seed of woman. That's Genesis 3:15. He is the seed of Abraham. That's Genesis chapter 12. He is the son of David, that's 2 Samuel chapter 7. He is the son of Mary, that's Luke 1 and Luke 2. He is the Lamb of God, that's John 1:29. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that's Revelation 19. He's the central person. He is the one who's coming through woman, through Abraham, which is Jewish, through David as the king, through Mary, the little baby being born, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's who he is. That's who he is. He's the central person in the whole Bible. The central person in the whole Bible. Let's think about how the Bible fits, okay? If you got one book with what? 66 books. You ever thought about that? One book. Somebody say, here's the Bible. And they said, what's that Bible about? What's it about? Perfect God brings sinful man back to himself, and his son, Jesus Christ. You can tell anybody what the Bible's about. But then you've also got 66 books, 66 letters, books, writings. They're all different, but they all have the same central focus, okay? Then you could divide the Bible in two parts, Old Testament and New Testament. How about three ways? You know how to divide the Bible in three ways? You ready? Jews, Gentiles, and church. Every human being fits into one of those three. They're either Jewish, they're either Gentile, or the church. Okay? How about five ways? I think I've got at the top of the next page five ways that the Bible fits together. And I just want to show them to you. In Genesis 1 through 11, you see Gentiles. And Genesis 12 to Acts chapter 2, it's all about Jews. And it's supposed to be Acts chapter 2 to Revelation chapter 3, it's all about the church. In Revelation 4 through 19, it's the tribulation. And in Revelation 20 through 22, it's the kingdom and the eternal state. That's the whole Bible divided right there in five big sections. You need to know it. If you're talking to somebody and they want to know something, you say, well, that's how, this is the church age, or this is this, or this is how God dealt with the Gentiles, or this is the Jewish people, or this is the kingdom, or this is the tribulation. Need to know how that fits. Then there's one thing you got to know and understand. Did everybody get all that written down? Let me just put it back up there. Did everybody get that? It's just Gentiles, Jews, church, tribulation, kingdom, and eternal state. Everybody got that? That's the five divisions. But here's something to understand, that salvation all throughout the Bible is always by faith in God's Messiah. I want you to understand that. It's not law in the Old Testament. I've had people come up to me and say, you're saved by your works in the Old Testament, and you're saved by faith in the New Testament. You're saved by faith, Old Testament and New Testament. You're never saved by works because you can't be saved by works. It doesn't matter. All throughout the Bible, whether it's Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Whether it's Paul saying, by grace you're saved through faith and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Or whether it's the last message in the Bible in Revelation 22:17, he says, take the water of life without cost. It's all free. It's all grace. It's all a gift. It's all salvation by grace through faith. It's the way the whole Bible is. What do we do with this thing? We know it, we apply it, and we teach it. If you're going to make disciples, making disciples involves what two things? Evangelism and training. So you're going to evangelize, and then you're going to do what? Train people. How are you going to train people if you don't know the Bible? How are you going to evangelize if you don't know the gospel? How are you going to train people if you don't know the Bible? You must know the Bible. That's why we have the grow groups. That's why we have Sunday morning. That's why we have SBI with those classes. If you're not in a class this semester, you need to be in one. You say, I want to get in one of those classes that gives me truths so I can begin to know them and apply them and be ready to pass them on and train other people. So I just got some questions that we end with. What is Revelation? God what? Making himself known. What is the two ways that the Bible is inspired? What two ways? The writers and the writings. What is the story of the Bible? Perfect God brings sinful man back to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. What are some ways to divide the Bible? One book, 66 books, Old Testament, New Testament, Jews, Gentiles, church. Gentiles, Jews, church, tribulation, kingdom, eternal state. Those are all different ways. And we need to know those and apply those.